Hello out there in Radio Land. This is Chuck Shaden with Recollections at 50. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear as we tune into a few nostalgic moments from a half century of Those Were the Days programs. First up this time is a segment with Carl Pearson, our resident big band expert, who joined our program in 1973 as a teenager fascinated by the music of Glenn Miller and the other bands of the Golden Era. Carl has become a recognized expert on the music scene. He has shared his collection and knowledge with our listeners ever since. In 1993, as part of our World War II series, he joined us for a 4th of July weekend salute to the military's V-Disc programs. He explained.
V-Discs were a series of specially produced phonograph records intended for use by the armed services, primarily by the U.S. Army, although later the Navy and the Marines got into the picture as well with their own series. And then towards the end of the war, it just became generally available for all the members of the armed services. It was kind of a program that started due to a lack of available music for the men and service women. And originally back in, I think, 1942, there had been a movement afoot to donate existing phonograph records, either through drives that people would donate some of their discs, or the record companies also donated their own. But that did seem to kind of fall through, and there was a big problem in those days with the breakage of records, with the shellac being very brittle. And to ship those things overseas was a little bit of a trouble. Then another problem occurred in 1942. The American Federation of Musicians instituted a strike by all the members of the Musicians Union, which basically put the record companies almost out of business for a couple of years. They could do some minor things with choral groups and singers, but they couldn't use any musicians to back them. So the program was started in 1943. They received clearances from the Musicians Union to record these items just for distribution to the armed services. And the actual discs themselves they're 12-inch records. For the most part, they're vinyl or plastic-based, since shellac was more breakable, and also shellac was one of those supplies that was kind of vital towards the war effort. And they were specially recorded, on 12-inch, as I mentioned. Usually, a shipment would go out worldwide once a month from, I think it was from about October 43 through the end, I think, of July of 1949. So the program was around for almost 6 years.
Through 49?
Yes.
That late, huh?
It went that far into, the 1940s. And usually there was anywhere from 15 to 30 different V-discs in a carton. And if there were room, they'd throw some song sheets in, some comic books, some other things that were basically for the entertainment of the servicemen.
Now, where would they go? They would come from where? Los Angeles, perhaps? Or New
actually,
York or wherever?
Yeah, the V-Disc group was based out of New York as opposed to AFRS, which was based out of Los Angeles. And the shipments were put together in New York for basically shipment around the world. I think internally they were within the States. There were some sent to service hospitals, things of that nature. But the bulk went overseas to Europe and Japan, Pacific and so forth.
Now, these things were not necessarily broadcast. They were simply records that were shipped to each army post or camp or entrenchment or whatever.
Right, ships and so forth. A lot of these same locations had also been supplied with what was called a B kit, which included a wind-up or a portable phonograph, so they would have ways to play these things. I've talked to a few ex-servicemen, and one I recall had mentioned how he was based on a ship during the war, I think in the Pacific, and they would play some of these things over the internal PA system. So some of these things may have ended up being broadcast just over the local stations.
Now, were any of these re-recordings of commercial records?
A certain percentage were. Some things were reissues of old favorites, some Bing Crosby items from the 30s. One example that comes to mind, Benny Goodman's Sing, Sing, Sing is another. In wanting to stay current and basically answering requests of servicemen, a lot of material had to be dug up during this recording ban, especially during the peak years of 43 to 45. And a lot of artists donated their time. When artists couldn't maybe make the time available to do actual recording, a lot of material was procured from various broadcasts, like the NBC Symphony turned up on a number of V-discs, and the source material used was actual the broadcast, the NBC broadcast. Mm-hmm. Some other groups, we have a few examples of some of those things from broadcasts. A lot of times they would use material from radio dress rehearsals, because in that instance you didn't have a studio audience present, and then there wasn't a need to fade applause or something at the end. Sometimes they'd use material from live broadcasts, a few cases from radio transcriptions, and even sometimes from soundtracks of movies. Things came from a variety of sources.
So it was just a nice package of entertainment that would come out to the servicemen all around the world once a month.
Once a month.
And the artists who donated their services were the biggest of the big, right?
Absolutely.
Major recording artists?
Absolutely. There was a wide variety of artists from the classical side. A majority were the popular entertainers. You'd see some of them turning up on broadcasts that were related just specifically to V-Disc. But in the area of band leaders, you'd find people like Eddie Howard, Captain Glenn Miller, Louis Prima, some of those very people that we'll hear this afternoon, and then now, singers as well.
In the appetizer, the little tease that we had before we came on this afternoon, you heard some of the artists actually addressing their remarks to the servicemen. Was this common on the V-Discs?
Yes, and I guess from the start they had intended to do that, to provide a spoken introduction on a number of recordings. They felt that kind of brought a little more of a one-on-one relationship with the artist, and it was a little more of a touch of home in that manner. So frequently what was done at some of these sessions is the leader or the artist would stay after and maybe cut a series of spoken introductions that they could eventually use for some of these releases.
Hello, fellas. This is Benny Goodman. I'm happy to be here making these V-discs for you, and the band and myself hope that you enjoy them.
Hi, fellas. This is Joe Stafford with another V-disc. George Wetling in the rhythm section, we're going to jump. It starts out a little slow, but look out. I'm coming for Ginny.
This is Captain Glenn Miller speaking for the Army Air Forces Training Command Orchestra, and we hope that you soldiers of the Allied Forces enjoy these V-discs that we're making just for you.
Carl Pearson and the United States Wartime V-Disc Program on Those Were the Days, July 3, 1993. Along with our listeners, I always learned a lot about the big band era from Carl. And there was always a lot to learn from Ken Alexander and the vintage newspapers he brought to the studio from his basement collection, especially when he looked at some of the ads in those papers. Here's a clip from 2004 when Ken had a Chicago Herald Examiner from February 26th of 1939.
Do you remember Nelson Brothers, how they used to advertise on the radio? Furniture?
Oh, yeah.
Nelson Brothers, first in furniture, they would say. And in their ad, they have a big ad in the paper.
Didn't they say, Nelson Brothers loves me? Nelson Brothers loves me.
Oh, well, I don't remember that.
And they'll love you, see? Len knows. Because
maybe
Len,
they did.
By the way, that you heard Len Kunkka in the background. This is a special milestone for Len Kunkka. This is the 9 years ago Len started working with us in 1995, right? On February the 11th of 1995, Len Kunkka first came in to run the program.
How can he stand it?
Been with us for 9 years. Congratulations. We appreciate very much all your diligent help. It's a pleasure to work with you.
Thank you.
Comes in all the time.
How can
now,
he
keep
stand
quiet while we do this.
All right. Well, Nelson Brothers did advertise on the radio. Yeah. And in the bottom, the lower left-hand corner and the lower right-hand corner of the ad, they have the drawing of two radio transmission towers.
Oh, yeah.
That's because they did so much radio advertising. Mm-hmm. But they're advertising three different suites of furniture here in three different price ranges. I'll read the middle one. It's called the Modern. It's three rooms for $158.
Rooms of furniture.
You get the 17-piece living room outfit for $79, which
17-piece?
Yeah, which includes sofa, club chair, occasional chair, two bookends, cocktail table, occasional table, two table lamps and shades, floor lamp and shade, end table, bridge lamp and shade, and a rug, 9x12 rug. Nothing else to buy. There's your living room right there, $79. And
$79.
You got a 14-piece modern bedroom outfit for $79. Total of $158. And they'll throw in a 5-piece dinette set, a table and 4 chairs at Nelson Brothers.
My gosh, even in 1937, now I realize, or 1939, still this is kind of the tail end of the Depression, but that's $158 for all of that?
Yes.
All that for $158 from Ken Alexander's copy of the Chicago Herald Examiner in 1939. On another Those Were the Days program, Ken was looking through the ads from a copy of the Chicago Times from April the 8th of 1940. I'm afraid I annoyed him somewhat, but he carried on.
There's an ad here on for International Silver. They sponsored Ozzy and Harriet.
Not in 1940, though.
Well, not back then, but later they did. Mm-hmm. And Carson Peary Scott was having a sale of silverware, special purchase of International Silver Company's triple plate guaranteed for a lifetime, tarnish-proof wood chest included, this in the Rosedale pattern, greatly below open stock prices. In this wooden case, wooden chest, you get 50 pieces, a service for 8 of International Silver, triple plate, $19.95, the price at Carson's.
50 pieces, service 50 for
pieces,
8.
Yeah.
So might have had six pieces.
For each, and then
for
two
four,
left,
that'd be 48, and then two you'd have a spoon for the sugar, a small
or a
butter knife maybe.
Maybe, and I don't know.
Well, if you had six pieces,
mm-hmm.
you would have... What, a knife?
Oh, don't
a fork. Knives and a fork and two forks. You would add a soup spoon, a knife, two forks, a soup spoon, and a teaspoon, right? That would be 5. And then this might be a little butter knife that might have had with it, right?
And then
you would have had you might have had a couple of serving spoons.
Mm-hmm, a large
spoon. Maybe you wouldn't have had all those. Maybe you wouldn't have had a butter knife, but you might have had a series of soup spoons or serving spoons or something.
Maybe
like that.
Maybe a ladle or something.
Well, the ladle would be the woman who cooked the dinner.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that's a good price, $19.95.
Oh yeah.
Sure. Lane Bryant at Washington Wabash had an ad for spring coats for women. Normally $12.95, $10, and $8.99. They're selling for $6.95.
A man walked down the street one day, and he said, who was that ladle I saw you with last night? He said, that was no ladle. That was my knife.
Oh, yeah. You know, Chuck, I missed you when you were on vacation. I was telling Len that I missed you, but I said, one thing, I don't miss those bad puns. And I'll say that to your face.
Okay. Well, I already heard that from several people.
Oh, you did?
The mail was waiting for me when we got back.
I see.
Wait till you hear what Ken... Listen to... They gave me the date of the show and told me to listen to it about 3 o'clock or 3:30 or something like that. I'm sorry.
Let me change the subject.
I'm sorry. Go right ahead. Back.
Well, you
back
should.
To the,
those puns. You should apologize.
To the times.
I've never seen a contact lens up close. Now, how big would... How much in diameter, how large are they, would you say, a contact lens?
Well, I would imagine it varies depending on the size of an individual's eyeball.
Well, in this picture, they were something new here in 1940. There's a picture, photographs. It says, true spectacle. Dorothy Boland demonstrates new plastic contact lenses introduced by Dr. William Feinblum, public health director of American Optometric Association. Lenses fit under lids of eyes. They're on display at the Illinois State Society of Optometrists convention in the Morrison Hotel. Now, do contact lenses look anything like this? They're so large, they cover the whole anterior portion of the eyeball.
Wow, yeah, it does look... Well, but that would fit underneath the lid.
Yeah.
It looks like she's holding two eggs, actually.
Yeah, they're so large.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think they're that large anymore.
Probably why they didn't catch on at that time.
Maybe. Here's an ad for, Wurlitzer, the music store on Wabash Avenue downtown. They were having, they give lessons, and Paul Whiteman's picture, he's endorsing Wurlitzer. The Wurlitzer name is a good guarantee in your first step toward musical fame, says Paul Whiteman. You can learn to play your favorite instrument the easy Wurlitzer way. $1 a week. It covers everything. Fine instrument, fine quality instrument, private lessons, and band practice for $1 a week.
Wow. Did they say how many weeks?
Well, no, but it's $1 a week.
$1 a week?
I don't know. I guess
that's the piano. That's the instrument, the piano.
accordion, drum, saxophone, trumpet, clarinet, piano, marimba, guitar, or any other instrument.
Mm-hmm.
Wurlitzer, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Gee, Dad, it's a Wurlitzer.
It was a Wurlitzer.
Yeah.
Ken rarely liked my puns, and in fact, he was not thrilled with some of my interruptions, but good guy that he is, he always forged ahead. That newspaper he had was the Chicago Times from April the 8th of 1940. Hope you enjoyed this episode of Recollections at 50. There's more to come in the weeks to come. This is Chuck Shaden. Thanks for listening.